Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. I'm Jane Williams. If you have ever wondered where all the women are in party politics, then Code Pink may be for you. Code Pink was started in the United States and linked to mobilizing women around the U.S. elections. Here in Vancouver, Lorinda Earle is looking at ways for women to interact with politics that are more grounded in their activities and lives. Lorinda Earle is the Vancouver organizer for Code Pink, and she's joined me in the studio this morning wearing a pink T-shirt. Good morning, Lorinda.
Good morning.
And your T-shirt says, "I kick ass for a living."
Yes.
Okay.
A little self-empowerment there. Yeah.
Now, tell us, first of all, about Code Pink got started in the United States. What was it exactly?
Code Pink was a call to action. It was in response to the Bush administration, their terror alert system, calling Code Red, Code Orange, their system that just elicited a fear response. A bunch of women got together and called Code Pink for Peace in response to that.
And who were some of the women who were involved in organizing it there?
Jody Evans from with a group called Unreasonable Women for Peace, Medea Benjamin with Global Exchange in the Green Party in San Francisco, and just a bunch of really dynamic, fearless women who have been to Iraq several times since the war.
And it's not a political party, I understand. So what is it exactly?
It was a call to action to women everywhere to stand up and speak out, to take an active role in creating the world we live in, as opposed to having a passive stance or feeling powerless to do anything about what was going on. The original call to action was for women to wear pink to rallies and events, just to start to paint a visual portrait of the female voice of peace. And we really started to see the rallies turn pink. It was incredible. So we realized how...
You were down in the States at the time.
I was down in the States at the time organizing. So we saw how female the peace movement is.
Okay, so that's really interesting. I can sort of see that how that's a very smart move and a very empowering thing to do.
Very visual. It was undeniable when it started to happen, and our secret weapon was the pink umbrella because we could sneak it in anywhere and at a given moment open our umbrellas and the whole place would turn pink. So it was creating a visual spectacle and also such a distinctly female approach that it was... It made us realize that there was something really there for us to hone in on.
Right. Yeah. What did you learn from being involved in the American Code Pink movement?
There's a lot more outrage down there, understandably. It's more overtly evil what's going on. People have a much stronger reaction to it. They protest, they demonstrate. Up here, women are generally more empowered, inherently more empowered, it seems, but also a little more complacent because things seem okay. We want them to be okay.
Canada opposed the war, right?
Yeah,
so the myth goes.
Yeah, well, at least we took that stand, but then it creates this collective consciousness where people feel like everything is okay, and they don't want to get out and protest and kick and scream. So finding ways to engage Canadian women in taking an active role, it's a different challenge.
So is Code Pink about all the variety of women getting involved, whether it's rallies or civil disobedience or electoral politics, the whole spectrum?
Yeah, it really doesn't tell women what to think, who to vote for, what to do. It's really just about doing something. Whatever it is that's on your mind, do something about it. And women would call and say, "My local radio station wants to interview Code Pink, and so I want them to talk to you." And we'd say, "No, you're Code Pink. If you're standing on a corner with posters and signs and umbrellas saying whatever's on your mind, then you are Code Pink." So reminding women that if they've connected with the idea and it really is just a movement, not an organization, then they are Code Pink. It crosses party lines, ethnic, religious. It's really just about women connecting with each other first.
What do you think that is standing in the way for women? If we look at electoral politics, where there really is just a sea of gray suits up there with men's faces above them, what do you think is getting in the way of women getting into electoral politics?
Well, it's a very male system. As you get into it and look at it, the women who have been successful in navigating that system generally abandon some of their female qualities along the way, not just to get there, but once they're there in order to continue having an impact. So from the very outset, finding a way to get the information to women in a way that resonates with them, that they connect with, that's not in a debate forum, that's in a conversation forum, that's the first step here, is for us to get the information out to each other, sharing it in a way that we respond to, not just being funneled into a system that was set up largely by men.
Okay, so if a woman calls and says that she's interested in getting involved in politics, well, you say, well, you are code pink, but I mean, then what next? I mean, she says, ooh, you know, what do you do next to kind of help people overcome some of those barriers?
Yeah. Well, it's really about connecting with their own lives first, and I started to go on that journey myself, thinking, if I don't want to live in a world that's at war, what am I doing to help take us to that place? Taking a hard look at my own life. A lot of my purchasing patterns, if I'm wearing anything on my body that was made by a Dow Chemical or DuPont or has any of those products, then I'm part of the problem. And by taking that really hard, close look at my life, I started to see with quite a lot of shock how much I was doing to support this world that I don't agree with. So first, getting women to connect with themselves in their own lives and see that. Then see how in their neighborhood, in their community, they can take action on things that matter to them. So it's a lot of self-organizing. We inspire each other, we connect when we can. If there are events where women can come together, we encourage women to wear pink, and it connects us immediately when we go to these events.
And do you have meetings and caucus and that kind of thing?
We have meetings occasionally. I have meetings all the time at my house with other women who have not so much a political agenda, but political issues on their minds that they want to talk about. It's a bit of a pink think tank, we call it.
Yeah.
And we encourage women to do that with their own friends. Just stimulate a dialogue. Let's start talking about it. The more we talk about it, the more we realize how similar we are, even if we have sort of overtly different politics. We embody the same values, and we can get to that really quickly through conversation.
And is there some sense that the grassroots kind of activity in this self-empowerment or self-organization can link into the existing political parties? Is that somewhere you see things going?
Absolutely. Well, we're looking at that for the next election. I'm engaged with the Green Party and going to be going out there and having green tea parties. So it's a way of having dialogues with women who normally wouldn't be responding to advertising or articles in newspapers or debate forums. Finding a way to have conversations with these women, finding out what it is that's on their minds, and then showing them how they can take action without waiting for somebody to become elected to represent them.
Now, I know that the roots of Code Pink are nonpartisan. Do you find that there is discussions that happen within the group of the different kind of political viewpoints that the women have?
Somewhat, but those tend to divide. Those conversations are very divisive, and if you go to the Code Pink website, you'll see there you cannot deny the politics of it. I think as women connect, we realize that we have an inherent sense of values that aren't being represented in the world right now, not equally anyway. A matriarchal society perhaps represents an imbalance in the other direction, but it shows us that women as the caretakers of art and culture and ritual and tradition, that's not represented. That's not a value to our society. So how can we bring those things back into our lives and into the lives of our communities and children in a way that is not denying of politics, but just approaching it from a completely different perspective?
I understand there's something called the Pink House.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
That's a house I have here in the downtown east side of Vancouver. And it was, it's a house that is meant to support positive social action and activism. It's a, like I said, a pink think tank.
This is your house.
Yes,
huh?
This is my house. And I got another perspective about just a little snapshot of the world we live in as I dug into the history of the house. It's 114 years old, and I was at the Vancouver Archives flipping through city directories. Pages and pages of white men from Europe, mostly tradesmen, really seeing that's how society was set up here, by a bunch of white men from Europe. They weren't trying to ignore an entire half of the population and what they represent, but just through promoting what was of concern to them. They set up a system that doesn't acknowledge anything that women bring to the table. I saw that so clearly. 25,000 men and 2,000 women. And the women didn't have much say in what was going on. So I got a little snapshot of it that way through our house. And so I've been bringing in projects that embody the Code Pink ethic and mission, the Better World Handbook Festival, a Sustainable Vancouver City Guide, a sex worker activist group for women in the neighborhood who want to take action. And that's been incredibly enlightening to me, connecting with the women in my neighborhood and finding out what's on their minds. And I realized that whether I'm in Egypt or Los Angeles or in the downtown east side of Vancouver, I have the same conversations with women. We connect with the same issues. We have the same things on our minds. Doesn't matter what we're doing, where we're living. There's a great connectedness between us, and if we can come together in that way first, then hopefully we can work to bring things into balance a little bit in the whole world.
You have a website?
Have a website, yeah, codepinkalert.org.
Okay.
That's where people can find out if there's anyone in their community who's already organizing.
And are there phone numbers there to contact or email?
Everyone has contact. There's a section called Local Code Pinks. So they can go there and search for their city. And if there isn't one, then there's a chance for them to register and say, I want to become a contact for Code Pink.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for coming down.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Lorinda Earle. Lorinda Earle is the Vancouver organizer for Code Pink. If you want more information, as Lorinda said, you can check out the website. It's codepinkalert.org. You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.